Good morning. Bless your hearts, each one of you who managed to make it here this morning. I know that this is a busy week for most of us, and it would have been so tempting probably for you all to just stay at home. And I'm so glad you didn't. I just, the time that we're going to break for after today is going to seem, for me, especially as I'm anticipating it, like, you know, an eternity. It's like a summer break in my mind, you know? And yet I know it's also a really busy time. So I know that we really do need to take this time. So I just would pray for each one of you that the Lord is going to bless you over these coming weeks that, you know, are so full, and that the enemy would love to make a burden to you. And I pray that you'll constantly look to the Lord, allowing him to lift that which the enemy would have as burdensome, and just see him in each day, in each activity that you're involved in, and pray that the Lord would just bless the time and use that time for his purposes. You know, I think Thanksgiving is one of those times that, and Christmas too for that matter, that we can kind of romanticize in our minds, you know, when we're far away from it. You know, we picture all of the warm and fuzzy part of it, you know, all the Hallmark part of it. And then when it actually comes, you know, you're praying, you know, don't let me be irritable. I don't want to be grumpy. I don't want to be stressed, you know. And so know that the Lord doesn't want that for you either. So just make it a point to start your days with him. Because again, the busier we get, the easier it is to just think, well, I've just got to get this going. And then you never do get back to that time with the Lord. I think it was Martin Luther who said, I have so much to do tomorrow that I must get up at 3. You know? And I thought, just so that he would have his time with the Lord. And truly, that is what the Lord wants for us. He wants us to start our days with him. Last year, when we studied the names of God, it was an interesting thing to see, as some of us were responding more to some names than others. And I think it's because we would find ourselves identifying with a name. We saw that in the testimonies that were shared, that even if you hadn't known the name prior to that, when you learned about the name, you realized, oh, Lord, that's who you have been in my life. And I know that is how I felt. And what he showed me is how the different names, I saw him in that place of my life each time. It was just a blessing. I loved that. And yet one of the names that I kept hearing back from women is the name that we're going to be looking at today. The name from last year, Jehovah Rohi. And seen by us today in the New Testament as the Good Shepherd. It's a name that has the quality of being especially intimate, you know, because it speaks of the shepherd, the Lord's personal relationship with each one of us. It speaks of his tenderness and his knowledge of each one of us. You know, when we say the word shepherd, probably for most of us, our mind immediately makes the jump to the 23rd Psalm, because it is such a familiar one. You know, many of us have memorized it over the years. And it's a psalm that we often hear or see printed on the little flyer at someone's memorial service, a funeral. And yet, it's a wonderful psalm that's really a psalm for life. Why don't we go ahead and turn there just to reread it? Doesn't take long, and it's a wonderful way to start the teaching. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I just love the whole thought of the shepherd. The word shepherd was actually first used way back in Genesis, in Genesis 48. And it's the scene where Jacob was blessing his grandsons. And I like that picture, you know, as being an old grandmother myself. I love the thought of pronouncing blessing on not just my children, but my grandchildren. And when he was blessing his grandsons and he was thinking back over his life, and I do think there's something about old age that changes our vantage point, you know, as we look back. And as he was doing that, he said, he spoke of the God who has been my shepherd all of my days up to this day. And how wonderful it is when we look back on our lives, and especially for those times that maybe we felt alone, to know that our shepherd was there and our shepherd was with us. His eye was upon us. And as I say, that's one reason why I love the 23rd Psalm. It's a psalm for our life. Last week I mentioned how the Jewish people have always seen their nation as the flock of Jehovah. And if you're going through the one-year Bible, as many of us are, you probably experienced the same thing I did last week. And that is, I was reading and I realized that it was going to be one of those sections that was speaking of the flock of Jehovah, of the shepherd, of the sheep. And so I just grabbed my pencil and started to circle every time I saw those words, whether it was flock or sheep, never dreaming that just in one morning's reading, I ended up counting up, there were about 25 times in that one morning's reading. This was last Thursday, so if you missed it, you can go back. And that sheep or flock, in reference to Israel, was mentioned. And I just love that. You know, the Lord does see us as his sheep. And he makes references to sheep throughout the Bible. Sheep are mentioned like 300 times in the Bible. And I had never known that until this study. And my guess is that most of us like the picture of a shepherd. You know, we like what it conjures up in our minds. If you're like me, you picture, you know, rolling hills, a very pastoral scene, green, velvety green grass, and it's a quiet scene. You see the shepherd leading the flock of sheep that just willingly, obediently follows wherever he takes them. And I think, as we think of that, that's all a wonderful scene. Of course, I think we might like a little less the part of the analogy which says we are the sheep. You know, because we know that sheep are not known for their intelligence or their obedience. Sheep are pretty dumb. That's the truth. They have no natural means to protect themselves. You know, think about it. They don't have the quills of a porcupine, or the scent of a skunk, or the claws of a cat, or the teeth of a lion. They are totally dependent. And actually, that is the part that blesses me the most, is realizing that whenever we see a sheep, we know it belongs to someone, because it cannot take care of itself on its own. You will never see just a wild sheep, because sheep have to be dependent on a shepherd for survival. And so, to see the Lord as our shepherd, we do well if we see ourselves just as needy as the sheep. Now let's turn to John 10. We were in here last week as well, where we will see the Good Shepherd. And this was the same chapter we were in last week when we looked at I am the door. And because, of course, in both images, the door and the shepherd are in here, they both speak of Jesus, I thought I'm going to go ahead and just start at verse 1 again, and we can look at both of them. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Verse 8, "All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Then to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's contrasting himself to the false shepherds or the hirelings, who not only don't care about the sheep, meaning again, God's people, but they even exploit them for their own purposes. We've all seen such false shepherds. I think of the TV evangelists who promise miraculous healing and prosperity. They promise solutions for whatever problem to each person who sends them money. We've also seen some of these so-called shepherds sent to prison. Jesus acknowledges that there are such shepherds, and he separates himself from them by saying, I am the good shepherd. I realize our lives in Portland might make it challenging for us to see ourselves as sheep. And so I've asked the Lord to help us to see what it means for us to have Jesus as our good shepherd. The first thing we need to acknowledge is that we are his. We live in a culture that is totally me-centered. You know, we constantly hear that we have the right to do whatever we want with our bodies. We hear that people claiming the right to ourselves, demanding the freedom to make any decision that we decide is good for us. No one is our boss. Authority is sneered at, and our culture has it all wrong. Psalm 24 tells us, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Turn to Psalm 100. I love the Psalms. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. That's a great psalm for this week of Thanksgiving, and for us to realize that we have so much to be thankful for. Truly, we are a blessed people, and we have every reason to acknowledge that, to give him thanks, and to see the many, many blessings that do abound in our lives. I especially loved where it said, it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, as we think of ourselves as being his, I think sometimes as we're reading, if we would just circle that word so that when we read it at another time, we'll be reminded, I am His. I am His. And He lays claim to me. We read in John 10, verse 3, He calls His own sheep by name. And again, we can love the sound of that, but living it out in our lives can sometimes be another matter. We may like to think of ourselves as being happy to say yes to our shepherd, until we realize that sometimes it means saying no to ourselves. In Isaiah 40, 11, this is one of my favorite verses. He will tend His flock like a shepherd, and He'll gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and will gently lead those that are with young. If only we could really view ourselves as belonging to the shepherd. If we choose to live for His purposes, trusting His will, His way, and His timing. Those things can be such challenges to us, can't they? You know, we want to move ahead and get going, and sometimes He seems to move so slowly. One of the most common things that I see in the Christian walk is the fact that there are many, many times the Lord has us wait. Wait when everything in us wants to do. Wait when everything in us sees a clock ticking, you know, hears the clock ticking, thinks, but I have to act. Something has to be done right now. And the Lord says, wait. I don't know if you read streams, but the past couple of days in streams, that theme has been there. And it's so true, and it can be so hard for us. But how important it is for us to trust His purposes, His will, His way, and His timing in our lives. But that's why I always come back to the importance of knowing the Lord. That's why it will always probably be the underlying theme of anything that I teach, because my prayer for all of you, my prayer for me, is that we would know Him better and love Him more. But when you think about it, you know, how do you live for? How do you trust? How do you surrender to one you don't know? And so make that the prayer of your heart. Lord, help me to know You. Help me to know You better and to love You more. That's why we need to constantly seek to know Him. And the best way for that to happen is spending time in His Word, you know, plugging into church Sundays, Wednesdays. And I know that that can be hard. I know that can be challenging, especially the midweek study. And yet the midweek study is so rich. You know, Pastor Brett calls it the meat and potatoes. It's so rich. And if we want to know Him better, if we want to love Him more, we need that time in the Word on our own, that time in the Word as we're being taught, but then also that time in prayer, just pouring our hearts out to the Lord, listening to Him, not just pouring your heart out and telling him all the things he needs to do as if we're giving him a laundry list, but then waiting, hearing what he would say to us, because he wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear him. And as I've said many times, what I love is he wants us to know him. That's why I have loved going through his names, that he is the self-revealing God. He wants to be known by us. And with every name that we have studied, I have personally felt that I have gotten to know him better. And that leads me to the next point that we're going to consider. And that is that our shepherd knows us. In Isaiah 43:1, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And again, that's one of those verses that I absolutely have loved for many, many years. He knows us. We read in the 14th verse of John this morning, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by them." We've been taught that the word know in the Bible goes beyond just the identification of a person. In fact, in the Hebrew, we have been taught that it speaks of the intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. And so it does speak of intimacy, of having a deep knowledge of a person. This is a truth that I cling to. My shepherd knows me. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows what's good for me, and he knows what's bad for me. He knows what will make me thrive, and he knows what could lead to my devastation and destruction. I personally think that to be known is just one of those longings that we have in our heart. And I think that's one of the things that often makes us think that if we're single, we need a mate, because we have that longing to be known. And yet, I will say, in counseling over the years, that's one of the things that I've seen between husbands and wives, and that is there can be this disappointment when in the session they realize that the mate doesn't know them, and they'll say something like, "Really? You mean after however many years, you don't know how I'd feel about that?" And they're so crushed. They're so disappointed. Because in their mind, this is the one person in their life who should really know them, and they don't. And I do think that is a longing in our hearts, whether we even identify that or not. I think of when Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Do you remember what Jesus answered? "Don't you know me, Philip? Even if after I have been among you such a long time?" We miss it, don't we? In 1 Corinthians 13, the 12th verse, it says, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And I remember when I read that, I think it was the first time I ever really read that, where it registered, that whole insight hit me about the longing to be fully known, but also to realize, you know what? As far as with my peers, it's not going to happen till heaven. But right now, there is one who knows me fully, and that's our Good Shepherd. And for me to know that my shepherd knows me is incredibly comforting. You know, nothing about me is hidden from his sight. He knows my every thought. He hears my every word. And he still loves me. How amazing is that? He calls me by name. To know that our Lord, who knows us so well, still loves us. That he laid down his life for us. How could we ever question following where he leads? And that takes us to our third point, found in John 10. Verse 3 says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After living in Southern Oregon for 35 years, the last thing I ever imagined was moving from there. I'm one of these people who is admittedly a stick in the mud, you know? Routine is totally comforting to me. I'm very happy with it. Day in, day out, you know, one person would say, going crazy, and I'm just thinking, oh, it's real comfortable for me, you know? And so because I was so happy in Southern Oregon and had lived there for 35 years, I mean, isn't that kind of a no-brainer, that equals stay here forever, you know? But then an invitation came to me to move to Portland. And my very first thought was, no. But of course, I knew as a Christian, I had to pray. And so I did pray. I prayed for clear direction. And I was pretty confident that clear direction would confirm what I already really knew in my heart. And that is that I was to stay. But I had a surprise. Over and over. Over. Daily, the Lord spoke to me, and he gave me scripture after scripture after scripture. And I'm so glad I was journaling at that time in my life, because I can look back on those days and just be amazed at the clarity with which the Lord was speaking. And I think of the very first day of my praying, the very first morning, he gave me three, in my mind, amazing, significant scriptures. The first was when I picked up my Bible. Now, realize this was, you know, as I go through the Bible every year, but this wasn't in the one-year Bible, it was just where I was. So I wasn't like looking for a scripture, had no idea really that it was coming. And I went to that chapter, and the very first verse was, arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can. And I remember laughing out loud, just thinking, what a coincidence, you know, that just seemed really funny. And also, that was spoken to by Elijah to the widow, you know, and I thought that was interesting too. And so then I went out for my walk after spending time in the Word, and as I was coming back, I happened to take note of a number on a house, which was 1023. And whenever I see that those numbers together, my mind immediately thinks of my mother, because that was her birthday. And yet this particular morning, when I saw 1023, which I had never noticed on this house before, even though I had walked past it for 8 years or something like that, before I even had a chance to make that link to my mother's birthday, I heard Jeremiah 10:23. And that wasn't a familiar verse to me, so I could hardly wait to get home to look it up and see what it was. And what was it? "I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps." And I started thinking to myself, "Oh, Lord, what are you saying to me?" Because here I am praying, but what I am hearing was not what I expected. Then the third scripture, this is all in the morning before I even left for work. The third scripture, at that time, Chris and Melinda and the kids were staying with me. They were getting ready to go back to China. And Chris was in my little breakfast nook with the kids, and he was going to have a little morning devotion with them. And so that happened to be right on the other side of my bedroom. So though my door was closed, I could hear Chris's voice clearly. And what did Chris share with the boys? Isaiah 55:12. "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace." That continued every single day through multiple scriptures, multiple circumstances. And it was so clear to me that in 1 week's time, even though I had anticipated in my mind that it was going to take at least a month, in 1 week's time, I knew that I knew the Lord was moving me to Portland. And the amazing part about that, too, is that by that point, I was even excited. I was actually anticipating it. It was like my heart had already gone ahead of me. That was 12 years ago. And in those 12 years, there has not been one minute, not a day, 1 minute that I regretted that move. That is the leading of my good shepherd, who knows me better than I know myself, who knows what will be good for me, even though in my flesh I think I would know. But he has shown me that I can trust his leading. And that was why, once I was getting the very clear message of what he wanted, I could start packing and getting ready to go, because I did know my good shepherd. And I did know that I wanted to follow wherever he led. I knew his voice, and I knew that I could trust him. You know, there might be some here today who are sensing a calling of sorts on their lives from the Lord. Know that he wants to make it clear to you, but spend the time asking. Spend the time with him. Come to his word expecting that he is going to speak to you. You don't have to twist. You don't have to try to make things the way you want them. He will be clear. But come to him and expect him to show you. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's your husband who's being led to a new location. Will you just cheerfully follow him? The word was cheerfully, not tearfully. Will you trust the good shepherd in your life? The Lord knows that if he's calling your husband for something, you're part of that package. He knows that. And he will cover you. He will cover your heart. But seek him and believe that the Lord knows you. And he knows what's best for you. So if you're in that situation, I just want to encourage you to search the scriptures and pray. Then search the scriptures and pray. Then search the scriptures and pray. Keep doing that daily until you know that you know that the Lord has made his message clear and purpose to obey. Remind yourself of the verse from John 10 and verse 4, where it says, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that he goes ahead, because there are those times that we inadvertently get ahead of him. Maybe being motivated by our own desires and dreams. But if we are faithfully seeking our shepherd, we'll hear his voice, and he'll lead us in the way we should go. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. In the King James Version, it says, I will guide you with mine eye. I've always loved that verse. And of course, we all know and love Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. The Lord knows the plans he has for us, and we can trust his leading. Our first point was acknowledging that we are his, that we belong to Jesus. And the fourth point, and last one, emphasizes why. The fourth point, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. That comes from 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. The price was the blood of our good shepherd, who became the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Verse 11 of John 10, it says, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17 and 18, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Then in 1 John 3:16 it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus willingly lay down his life for you and for me. You know, you would think that just knowing that would keep us close to the shepherd, that we'd trust him and yield to him as the authority in our lives. He died for us. Do you need a hint as to why we don't? We're dumb sheep. Isaiah 53, verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 12, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off." You know, I'm pretty confident that I'm not the only one in this room who wandered away from the fold. And when I returned, I was the worse for wear. There were wounds that needed to be cleansed. There were bandages that needed to be applied. My wandering had taken its toll, but my shepherd found me. And that healing did come. He found me, and he called me by name because I was his. Maybe you are here today and there's a prodigal in your life that you're praying for. And I think over holidays we're especially vulnerable to that pang in the heart of their absence, whether it's a physical absence or it's an absence in your hearts being able to be one because you're unified in your love for the Lord. Remind yourself of the Good Shepherd. You know, that same loving shepherd who found you, who found me, is still seeking. And he still is finding. And he still loves the lost. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much that you are our good shepherd. Lord, that you would have sought us, that you would call us by name, that you would say, "We are yours." Lord, let us be comforted by that truth, that you are the good shepherd, and you will protect us, Lord. You will provide for us. You will direct us. And in those times, if we start wandering away, Lord, you will find us. Lord, we so need to know you better, and that is our prayer. As we study your names, Lord, may it not be just some study that stays in our heads. Lord, drop it down to our hearts that we would love you more. I pray for each sister here today, asking for your blessing upon them in this week of Thanksgiving and in the weeks ahead, Lord. Keep them close to your heart, and may they be ever aware of your presence as their good shepherd in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.